Hey everyone, my name is Joel Radecki and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, some are summit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning, church. Hope everyone had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. Thank you for gathering with us here at the River today. My name is David, and I'm the kids director at our Walled Lake location, and it's just an honor to be here today to be able to preach and to share the word with you. And my wife, my wonderful wife, is the gathering director slash worship leader in Walled Lake, too. So we have a lot of fun down there, and we're also in the academies we offer here. I'm in the second year of the Pastor's Academy that we have, and I got the privilege of learning from Josh and just growing with him and learning what it's like to be a pastor and to preach the word. And don't worry yet, guys. He hasn't turned me. I'm still a Lions fan. So there's that, which is great. Let's go. So it's just been such a blessing and an honor, and I'm just so grateful to be here to be able to share the word, to preach the word to you guys. And if you have your Bibles, if you'd like to open up, or if you use a phone or a tablet, we are going to be in the book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 10, verse 16 through 22. So here's just a little bit of context, and it's so at this point now where Jesus, he's preached his Sermon on the Mount, and he's gained a following, he's made some traction, he's becoming known, he's performed many miracles, he rose a man's daughter from the dead. So he's performed many miracles, he's cast out demons, he's done some truly miraculous things, he's healed people. And so now it is at this point in time where he's turning to his disciples and he's telling them to do the same. He's commanding them to go. He's sending them out amongst Israel to heal, to have authority over unclean spirits, the same authority that he has, right? And at this point, these disciples, they've never done anything like this, right? They've seen their master. They've seen Jesus do these miracles to heal people, to do the impossible, to bring people back from the dead and to cast away demons, but they're just ordinary people. They've never done this. So I can only imagine the worries and the anxieties that they might have had. But with their trust in Jesus, they were sent out. And he sends them out not just to do this, but he also tells them that there's going to be a persecution. He warns them. He gives them a warning of the persecution that's to follow. And so he's sending them out. He's saying, there's going to be hard times. It's going to be some trials, it's going to be difficult, but don't worry. And so that's where we are now. So before I go ahead and read the passage, would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Lord, we thank you so much just for allowing us to be here today to hear your word. Thank you for this opportunity. I just pray that we'd receive the truth in who you are, that you would speak today, Lord, that you would speak through me, that it wouldn't be my words, but it would be your words, and it would be your will. And I just thank you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So now in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus says this, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to their courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Wow, that's pretty tough, huh? That's pretty tough to hear. He's saying that their brothers are going to go against brothers. It's going to be divisive. It's going to be difficult. Really makes you want to go preach the gospel, right? Yeah, it's really encouraging. No, but he says, don't be anxious. He says, don't be afraid. Because I'm going to give you what you need, and I'm going to give you the words you need to say in that moment. So now in verse 16, the beginning, of our passage here. He says, behold. Jesus says, behold. This means I'm to stop, to listen closely to what I'm about to say. Behold, listen to what I'm about to say. Pay attention. I am sending you out. See, God is sending them out with a purpose. He has a plan for their lives. Just like he has a plan for me, he has a plan for you and each and every one of us. He knows what he wants for your life. He has a will for your life. And so this plan that he has, this plan for their lives, it actually becomes a vital part of our story. See, it's these disciples that they become the apostles, they become sent out, that make up our New Testament. They make up what we know as the New Testament of our Bible today. Even through all of these difficulties and these challenges, God uses that. Just like he does for us. And I'm so thankful for that. That he has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. That he puts meaning behind the sufferings that we have. I'm so grateful to know that we have a creator, the creator of the entire universe, who has purpose and a plan for my life, for your life. And so he says to them, I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I wish I could say that it was easy to share the gospel, to share this truth that we have in Christ, the truth of who Jesus is. He's our Savior, that he's Emmanuel. But the truth is that the gospel is offensive. The truth that we have, the hope that some of us have in the kingdom of heaven, people don't want to hear it. When John chapter 14, verse 6 says, when Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. To me and to some of you who believe, this is a hope, this is peace to know that we have a Savior. But to others who don't know God, who don't believe, they don't want to hear that they need a Savior, that they're not good enough, that they're a sinner, that they can't get to heaven on their own. That Jesus, he is the only way. And so because of that, it is very difficult to share this truth, and it becomes offensive. But we are told to have faith. It becomes dangerous, and it is in those difficult times that we are to have faith. And something Pastor Josh has said to me, and he shared with us in the academy, he says, I don't like the term faith over fear. But he says, have faith through the fear. See, that's what courage is. When you're afraid, when you're scared, to have faith in the midst of those difficult times. To take a step of faith in God and an act of obedience, and to recognize that our lives, they don't belong to us, they belong to God. And then if we do that, he can use us in mighty ways, just as he used his apostles. So we have to have courage to run towards these things that we're afraid of, and not away from them. And so he tells his apostles, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be as wise as serpents and be as innocent as doves. I read a commentary, and I really like the way this commentary says it. It says, in terms of character, we are not to be like tigers, preying on the weak, strutting our bold and beautiful colors, showing our teeth if needed, to coerce people to believe or else. We are to be as sheep, peaceful, nonviolent, vulnerable, fully dependent on the shepherd to lead, to provide, to care for, and to protect. We are to be fully dependent on God for these things. To lead us through, to rely on him. And he will guide us and he will take care of us. He will protect us. We must rely on God. We must rely on the Holy Spirit for guidance and for discernment, for our development of our character. Because these characteristics, they can only come from the dwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. So just as the disciples, as the apostles were sent out into the world, we too are sent out to share the light of Christ. And this can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says to his disciples, Jesus says in verse 17 and 18, beware of men, For they will deliver you over to courts, and they will flog you in their synagogues, and you'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles." This is where it gets tough. This is the warning that he gives them. He says, beware. This is going to happen. This word flogged, it means to be whipped. It means to be beaten, to be persecuted. It's the same word that is used in Mark chapter 10, verse 34, talking about Jesus' crucifixion, where it says they will mock him, they will spit on him, they will flog him, and they'll kill him. But after 3 days, he'll rise. So it is not always easy to respond to this calling of Christ, the calling that he's placed on your life. But know that even our Lord had suffered and even died for the truth. So he can relate to you in your suffering. You're not alone in it. And regardless of if you believe in Christ or not, you're going to be faced with challenges in life. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be hard times. But trust that you are not alone. And that suffering for the truth in Jesus is worth it. Just as the 12 apostles, they suffered, and most of them, a lot of them were even killed for the truth. This truth that they believed in who Jesus was. The truth that Jesus is the Messiah. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is our Savior. Our path to kingdom is through him and through him alone. And it's by the sacrifice that he made on the cross that we have this salvation. So I ask you guys today, what are you willing to sacrifice for this truth? If you know him, if you believe him. You may lose friends. You may lose family members. You may get blocked on Facebook. You might even get fired from your job. You may be labeled as bigoted or intolerant or close-minded. And see, oftentimes for us here in America, mainly these are social pressures that we face as Christians. Nonviolent. But the truth is that there are places today in this world, across the world, where Christians are killed still for what they believe. Persecuted. That it's normal for Christians to be persecuted and to be killed, to be beaten, to be uprooted from where they live for the belief that they have in who Jesus was. But in the midst of that storm, God says peace. He says, be still. When the world seems to be falling down around us, he is still the same. He never changes. His love for us never changes. And he has victory over death. And that victory never changes. It never leaves. He's right there with us. And he always hears us. So now in verse 19 and 20, when Jesus says, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious about how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now today, when they asked me to preach, they gave me the option to choose on what I wanted to preach on. We call it preacher's choice. And so as I'm reading my Bible and as I'm studying scripture, it's right here, it's these two verses that the Holy Spirit spoke to me through and really called me towards. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about what you're going to say, because your Father is going to be there to give to you what you need, to guide you through. It says, when they deliver you over. Jesus is saying, it's going to happen. It's not an if, it's a when. There are going to be hard times. But don't worry. You can rely on your Father. On your Father. You see, because when you believe in Jesus, when you believe in God, and you come to him, he becomes your Father. You become his child. You are adopted into his family. You're grafted in. You become an heir with Christ. And so there are all those difficulties. There are all the pain. There are all the loss that you might experience. The Father says, I have a plan for you, my child. And I will always guide you with my Spirit. So a while ago, I used to be a manager at a pizza place. I was a manager there for a few years, and I had a coworker there. And oftentimes we'd get slower in the middle of the day, and so we'd have time to sit down and talk. And she knew what I believed. She knew I was going to school to be a pastor, that I wanted to pursue ministry. And she was raised in the church, and she had church hurt. She was baptized, so she knew of God. She knew of Jesus, but had a falling away and didn't really believe anymore. And so when we had time, often we're posed with very difficult questions. Why is there suffering? Why is there pain? Why are things the ways that they are? And to be completely honest with you, I had no idea what I was going to say in that moment. I wasn't prepared. It was all that I could do to rely on the Father to give me what I needed and to share the love of Christ that we learn about in our Bible to them. And this happened for a few months, and maybe 6, 8 months, maybe a year later. I remember we were talking, and it brought me so much joy. She told me, because of our conversations, I started to pray again. I started to believe. Because the church, you see, the church isn't perfect. And the church can hurt you, and the church can break you. But the Father, the Lord, He's always there for you. He's always perfect, and He never changes. And when we rely on Him to give us what we say in those moments, He can move in very mighty ways. But it's not by our own will. It's not by what we can do. It's not by what we can say. It's by Him. It's by the Holy Spirit moving through us. We can't do it on our own. In John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, Jesus says this: "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." You can do nothing without God. You would not be here without God. Apart from Christ, we can't do good. We can bear nothing fruitful. And it's only by abiding in Christ and relying on what He can do, we can bear the fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit moving through us. And so for me as a kids director, when I hear the words fruits of the Spirit, I only think of one thing. And if you are involved in kids' church, if you have kids in kids' church, or maybe you grew up in kids' church, you might be familiar with this song, The Fruits of the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to sing it for you now because I'm not the singer. That's my wife. She can sing it for you later. But it teaches the kids what they are. And the fruits of the Spirit comes from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, where we learn the fruits are. It's love, it's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I know some of you out there can probably know those and sing them along with me if you wanted to, because you were raised and to know that song. It's a wonderful song. If you've never heard it, I encourage you to go check it out. So, but these fruits of love, of joy, of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, we can't bear those on our own. We can't have those unless we abide with Christ. It's only by allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us that we can bear those things. And how can we abide with Christ? We surrender to Him. We trust Him. We have faith in His sovereignty through our circumstances. We pray to Him when things get hard, and we praise Him all the same. We step out of the way so that the Lord can move. We trust in Him, just like the apostles did. We become vessels that the Lord can use in mighty ways. He tells us, He's telling them, yeah, it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, times are going to be tough, but trust in me, I have a plan. Rely on my ability, not on your own. Don't be worried about what you're going to say, what you're going to think, or what you're going to do, because I'm going to provide for you. I will give you what you need in that moment. So just as the Lord has a plan for their lives, He has a plan for each and every one of you as well. We're faced with adversity from friends, from family, from the world. We can rely on the Lord. Now in verse 21 and 22, Jesus says, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Nearly all of the apostles were martyred and killed for what they believed in Jesus. Proclaiming the truth about who God was, that he came, the Messiah came, that Jesus came, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life. He died for our sins, but it doesn't stop there. He rose again, and it is through his resurrection that we have everlasting life. They died for that truth. This purpose, this mission, the truth that God himself and his apostles died for, this truth is worth dying for. And in fact, it's worth living for. See, in my young teenage life, I lived for the world. I lived for myself. I thought I knew what was best for my life. I wanted to have fun and go to the parties and play music and maybe become rich and famous. And I thought that was what the point of life was chasing the money and chasing the woman and the fame and all of those things. I thought that I would find fulfillment in those things, in the ways of the world. And so for years I did that. I sought after my own will. But truthfully, on the inside, I felt no fulfillment. There was nothing fruitful. On the inside, I felt empty. And so because of that, I turned to the Lord. And it was only when I turned away from my sinful living, my sinful desires, and I left that lifestyle behind, it was when I separated myself from all the things that I wanted, and I dropped down and I surrendered my life to the Lord, it was only then that I found true purpose in my life. And learning how can I glorify him? How can I worship him? What is his will for my life? I started seeking him, started praying to him every day, relying on him, reading the word, reading the Bible, going to church. It is far more fruitful than anything I could have ever wanted for my life. He knows far more than I do about what is best for me. So when I found him, I found new life. I found new life in God, and that new life is worth dying for. It's worth dying for because his love is unlike anything of this world. It's never ending. His kindness extends further than the seas. His power transcends death. He's conquered it. He's conquered death. He already has the victory. He promises us eternal life when we turn to him and we believe in him. And by his death, our sins were paid. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're struggling today with your worth, with why you're here, if you're empty, if you're struggling with anxiety, with your purpose, I just want you to know that the Lord gives you that purpose. He gives you a life that's far more fruitful. So would you turn to him? Would you trust in him? Because he has a plan for your life. And he gives you what you need in your times of trouble. You can rely on him. He's always there. He can move in ways that you can never imagine. He could take you to places that you could never imagine. Do you know him? Are you relying on him? Are you relying on the will of the Lord, or are you relying on yourself? I would encourage you to align yourself with him today. I would encourage you to continue to believe in him if you do believe, especially when times are tough. To turn to him, to turn towards him in the goodness of God in these difficulties. I'm going to be completely transparent with you guys. This has been a tough Christmas for me and my family. It was Monday last week. I was at work. And I got a phone call. I got a phone call from my wife, and she was distressed. And I said, what's going on? What's happening? And she told me, she said, My dad's having a heart attack. And immediately I stopped what I was doing. I stepped outside and we began to pray. Immediately turned to the Lord for his guidance and his provision. It was scary. It was difficult. Went immediately to the hospital to see him. Stayed there until 7 in the morning. Spent 15 hours that first day at the hospital. Scared, worried, anxious. Didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know why it was happening. But trusted in the Lord that he had a plan. I've never seen so many people get together in prayer for him, for one person. It was beautiful. Through those sleepless times and that difficulty, I seen the goodness of God. We spent Christmas with him at the hospital. He was supposed to wait a day and have an open heart surgery, and the doctor said he wasn't going to make it a day. I had to push the surgery up to that early morning at that 7 a.m. hour, 6 a.m., 5 a.m., whatever time it was, and an open heart double bypass surgery. The doctor said it was a miracle that he survived. But he survived. Praise the Lord. And I'm here to tell you that miracles do happen. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know if you are experiencing troubles financially, if you're experiencing difficulties with health, if you have a family member that's experiencing these things, maybe cancer, maybe you've lost a loved one and you don't know why. Just trust the Lord is there. He hears you. You can turn to him in prayer. He has a plan. And he offers us eternal salvation in him when we believe. There is hope beyond death. There's hope in Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me and pray? Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. For what you've sacrificed for us. We thank you for coming and dwelling with us. For being Emmanuel, for being God with us. In our times of need, in our times of struggle, when we don't understand it. We know that you do. Lord, I pray that we would trust your will for our lives, that we would rely on you to give us what we need. When we don't know what to say, we don't know what to think, we don't know how to act, we don't know why things are happening, let us turn to you. We thank you that the victory is in you. The victory is yours. You offer that to us freely, gracefully, lovingly. I thank you for that. Thank you for who you are, God. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, church.